Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. What happens when one man's junk becomes one woman's treasure? Well, my next guest is a sustainable artist, and she's also one of the co-authors of Beyond the Ordinary, 30 Neurodiverse Stories from 30 Women. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage, and let's learn more about her. See you there.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Caroline West. Welcome to the show, Caroline.
Hi, welcome. Thank you so much for having me on.
Not a problem. So let's start off with why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. I'm from the south of England, and I'm an artist. Well, in another life, I worked for nearly 20 years in early years education, and then 2.5 years ago, I suffered from burnout. So that led to me quitting my job and pursuing my dreams of becoming an artist.
So you dealt with burnout. When did you realize you were in burnout?
I think probably the moment it really hit home was one morning. I was just sobbing in my shower, and I just thought, I just can't do this anymore. It just got to a point where I think it was years and years of people pleasing, trying to fit in, trying to do a job that didn't really suit me, and it just all culminated in that moment, I think, of like, oh, there's got to be something more and something else
Yeah, that seems to
for
be the
me.
thing with a lot of people who are experiencing burnout. It's either they're not happy with the job they're in, or they're just pushing themselves too hard and they're realizing, I need to get out now.
Yeah, I mean, there was lots of aspects of my job I loved. When I started, I loved it. But yeah, I think I just ended up, like you say, I mean, I was an innate people pleaser, a perfectionist, and I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And I think I was just trying to, looking back now, I was just trying to fit in and mask and just do things that just didn't work for me.
When did you realize you had ADHD?
Only really in the last, I think, in the last year or so, when I've embraced that side of me. I think I tried to keep it sort of, I think it's quite often, particularly as a woman, I was always trying to be the good girl and trying to just get everything right, do everything for everyone. And you just kind of like, say, mask it, I suppose. And then where I've sort of embraced my creative side, and really followed that, it's all sort of come out, it's released.
Now, when you realized you had ADHD, did you look back at everything that had happened and just have this like epiphany and like, oh my God, this explains why everything was the way it
Yes.
was for me?
I just thought I was really weird. I mean, I am a bit weird, but that's good. But yeah, I think so many things that hadn't made sense with things that I did, felt, the way my brain worked, the way I would get frustrated with myself for a lot of things in the past. And I now think, oh, it really helped me, because it just made me understand why I'm like I am, and that I'm not just broken or wrong.
Now, what were some of the things you realized you were struggling with once you realized you had ADHD?
Quite a lot of things. I think organization, just things like doing things that I find particularly tedious or boring, answering emails, answering phone calls, doing all those, just doing anything sometimes, just like completely zone out, freeze out, and not be able to do things. Then my constantly bad habit of interrupting people when they're talking. I mean, in my head, I'm going, don't say anything, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. But I just can't help myself. Yeah, just a lot of little things. And the more I've read about it and looked into it, the more I'm like, yeah, I do that, I do that. It just really sort of helped me realize that all the things I thought were quirks or character defects actually were ADHD.
Now, did you go for testing at all, or is this self-diagnosed?
Yeah, I'm not officially diagnosed as of yet. My brother has just been officially diagnosed. And my father, I think, has Asperger's. But yeah, I haven't officially been diagnosed, but I definitely recognize myself a lot, and in my daughter as well, who's going for a diagnosis.
Now, do you feel you also have autism as well?
I don't I mean, they're very quite often quite linked, aren't they?
Yes.
Maybe some of the traits, but definitely more the ADHD. I mean, my brain just never stops. It's like a bag of rabid squirrels in there.
I mean, that brings me up to how do you handle that? Because I know there are a lot of people who have ADHD and they deal with running thoughts. Some people have pen and paper. Some are able to take those thoughts and put them to a side. How do you handle it? I mean, I know you with a family and a daughter. How do you navigate taking care of your family with your daughter who's also neurodivergent, but also taking care of yourself?
I think it's just a learning process. It's just trying to put things in place to set yourself up to succeed rather than fail. I mean, I've got a really supportive husband who's great, and it's just making sure I write things down so I don't forget them. Just putting things, I suppose, trying to maybe habit stack because I'm quite bad for forgetting things. So it's just trying to say, put those things in place that will help. I mean, I find it very hard, particularly at night, my brain just won't switch off. I tried brain dumping on paper, that sometimes helps. But it's just exhausting a lot of the time, really tiring and
Yes.
really exhausting, just trying to keep up with your mind. But it's just trying to find strategies that will work for you, which I'm working through at the moment.
Now, when did you realize you were an artist?
I've always loved art. I painted a lot when I was younger, and then, got older, had family, had my kids, my job, and all that sort of thing. And then when I got really stressed in my job about 4 years ago, I started painting again as a way for being mindful, which I suppose for me is probably the only time that my brain switches off, because I'm so in the moment and the zone of creating that that creates peace for me. So I suppose that will be my coping strategy, would be painting.
Good. Now, would you say your art is your hyper focus?
Absolutely. I've always got all the ideas, and then I'll start a project. I've got so many unfinished projects because I'll start something and then my brain will think of another idea. So I want to do all the things all at once. Then I'll collect all the things for said idea, start it, then not finish it, move on to the next one.
That's so funny you mentioned that. That's sort of like what happens with me is I'll get involved in something I get excited about. And I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. And all of a sudden, I realize I'm tapering off from that project and I'm moving on to something else. And that one thing gets pushed to the side. I mean, I can tell you right now, I'm staring at a half finished, or not even a half finished, a quarter of a finished jigsaw puzzle sitting on my jigsaw puzzle table. And it's just sitting there with pieces everywhere, just screaming at me, please finish me.
Yeah, I have a graveyard of craft projects in my art room. I think quite often the art it's the ideas phase, isn't it, that I find just so, like, I'm so hyped up and exhilarated from the idea phase, and quite often executing of said idea is not so much fun as the actual thought of it.
Now, when you do your art, do you like lose focus of time and everything just slows down and you're just centered on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll get into painting, and then sort of 4 or 5 hours later, I'll go to get up and realize I haven't eaten or weed for like 5 hours because I've just been so focused.
Now, would you say after you realized you had ADHD, would you say all of a sudden just look back at your life and go, oh wow, this is why I was like this. This is why I can't keep one project going for a
Yeah.
long period of time. This is why I'm hopping from one to one painting to another painting to another painting and not finishing anything.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like with anything, I'd get into exercise and I'd like find a brilliant exercise program, then I'd go like all in hard for it, like completely like take over my whole life, so focused on it, that's all I can think about, really excited about it, keep up for a while, then that would drop off.
All right.
And then I'd just think there's something wrong with me and be like, why can't I stick at anything? Why can't I just, like other people do?
Now, how do you
So yeah,
deal? Now,
definitely.
how do you deal with that? Do you try to get back on to something you started, or does it just fade away from your memory and it just sits there collecting dust?
If I'm honest, most of the time, yes. I do try to, but it's hard when you've lost interest. It's
Yeah, I feel
just not
that.
the same spark for it anymore.
Now, you say you're a sustainable artist. What is that exactly?
So basically, I take things that you would usually discard, throw away, or decay, and I transform them into art. So I paint on things like used tea bags. I upcycle crisp packets into jewelry, paint on, I preserve leaves and paint on them, paint on wood. So just things people usually consider waste. I like to give them a
So
new purpose.
basically, you're one of the you're like me in a sense. You believe that one person's garbage is another person's treasure.
Absolutely. There's nothing better, is there, than rummaging, going to a, like a car boot or a thrift store or something and rummaging through people's
I
discarded
mean,
rubbish.
that kind of reminds me of, have you ever seen the movie Twister? Do
Yes.
you remember when they cut the little wings out for the for their telemetry devices to fly? They use coffee
Yes.
can things to do that. That
Yeah.
sort of, and she just made art out of anything.
Yeah. I just love that. I just love the idea of taking something considered waste and just making it into art, making it something beautiful.
I think there is a real niche for that because a lot of people may see one thing, but I mean, like a lot of people say, art is in the eye of the beholder.
Yes. Yes,
Now,
definitely. I mean, I used to, I just, say after feeling like maybe I fought against my brain for a long time, actually embracing it, and I love the way it looks at the world and sees things. I just think that's a gift.
would you say your art is an outlet to help you deal with the nonsense of the real world?
Yes, totally. It's my mindful happy place, a complete just switch off from everything. And I'm sort of, I've got like a room of my own, I've got my art room, I just put on my music that I love on repeat because I like to listen to the same song to death. And then listen to my music and just lose myself in my art. That's just definitely a safe space away from the craziness.
Now let's go back to your self-diagnosis for a minute. Did
Yes.
you feel before you realized you had ADHD, you were the like the odd person out of everybody? You stood out m amongst everyone else. While everyone else was normal, did you feel different than everyone else?
Yes, always. But I think I always tried to mask it, and then you try to fit in with other people, and so you're sort of kind of almost be like them to fit in. So I've always, always felt awkward, kind of awkward, and like you have to be I've had to be a certain way. But the more I've embraced it, the more I am me. And I think maybe it's an age thing. You get a bit older, and you're like, do you know what? If someone doesn't like me, that's a them problem, not a me problem. I think you just I'm learning to embrace who I am. Definitely. But yes, for a long time I felt like the weirdo in the room, I suppose.
Now you are one of the 30 of the women who shared their story in the book, Beyond the Journey. What was that experience like sharing your life with, I guess, millions of people who are going to be reading this book?
It was very emotional, and I think you feel very vulnerable doing it. But I really think that stories are important to share. I mean, there's 30 different stories in that book. And so there's going to be something that resonates with everybody. And I just think that if people can see themselves in, at least one or two of the stories, and it can help someone on their own journey, then that's just a really amazing thing to be a part of.
Now, what gave you the courage to share your story?
I think after hiding for so long, I'm like, do you know what? I've got to push past those fears because I've been so fear-based most of my life. And this last year, especially for me, has been pushing past those fears, getting out of my comfort zone and doing things. So I was like, do you know what? I just think I need to do it. And I've always wanted to write. So this was the perfect opportunity to do that.
No, it's funny you mentioned getting out of your comfort zone. That's something I'm a big believer in so many ways, because I feel even if you're an introvert, you need to step out of your comfort zone because no matter what happens, the world's just going to keep moving.
Yeah.
And by the time you're older, you're going to look back at your life and regret you didn't do all the things you wanted to do. And you're just going to sit there and say, I should have, could have, would have.
Oh gosh, absolutely. I mean, I'm an introvert, but this last sort of year or two, it's my mission just to do those things that scare me and just go for them. I mean, in the last sort of, well, especially in the last 6 months, through my art, I've been on, well, I've been doing podcasts, I've been on radio shows, I've been in lots of papers, and I was on BBC television a couple of weeks ago. I went up to London, they had me on a live show, which was so far out of my comfort zone. But I just think you've just got to start doing these things. I don't want to look back and go, oh, I should have taken that opportunity, because do you know what? It could go wrong, I suppose. I could have made an idiot of myself in front of lots millions of people, but equally it could go amazing and you just never know what's going to happen. And the more you push yourself out of your comfort zone and the more you do it, the more confident you get in yourself.
Now, how do you f what's it feel like to know that you're going to have millions of people reading your story, and you're going to get some who are able to relate to your story?
It feels amazing. I just think if my story could help inspire anyone to go for their dreams and and push past that fear, it would all be worth it. It would just be incredible. It's an amazing, when I got the book and opened it, I did cry because it's just the most amazing feeling.
Now, what would you like people to read your story? Be What would you like people to pull from your story and be able to relate back to it?
I would like them to know that there is always the opportunity to follow your dreams, and to live authentically and just do what brings you joy.
All right. Now, let's go back to your art for a minute.
Yes.
Where do you get your inspiration from when you do your artwork?
I get my inspiration from nature. I'm mostly a nature-based artist, and there's just something, that's another thing that soothes my brain. I think being out in nature, particularly by the sea, I love the sea, but that's what inspires me. And I just love walking around, kind of. I feel like my brain almost sees in sort of in HD, so everything's just bright, and I just love seeing all the details and everything. And that just really inspires my art, particularly painting on things like leaves and wood. Obviously, it's a really organic thing to use.
All right. What advice do you have for those struggling with ADHD?
I think you need to, like I said, find systems and things that work for you. Get the support if you need it. Obviously, if you need to get a diagnosis or medication, if that's what works for you. I think it's just each individual finding what works for them and learning to just love yourself as you are. You're not wrong or broken. It's a part of you, that you need to, to try and embrace and to work with rather than battle against. That's my dog. Sorry. I knew one of them would do that.
And finally, where can people learn more about your art and pick up your book?
I have a website and my art is on there, and also you can get the book through there. You can also buy the book through Amazon, and I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That was Caroline West. I'm Reed Miles, and I'll see you in the next one. Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you so much.